We're in the octave of the Nativity of the Lord because the mystery of God Almighty coming among us as a human being is just too big to get our arms around. Not even 8 days is enough, but the church makes that point by giving us the octave where the prayers every day are pretty much the same prayers, giving us a week to take it all in. The same thing will happen at Easter. Those two feasts, the mysteries are just too big. You just don't celebrate it on one day. Christmas is the center of human history. It's been seen that way throughout Western civilization for the last 2,000 years. In the formation of our calendar, it shows up that way, B.C., before Christ. Anno Domini, A.D., the year of our Lord, separates all of human history into two parts. Part that closed with John the Baptist and the birth of Jesus, and part that is still being lived out by us today. For how long, we don't know, but Christmas is the center of time. It's the center of human history. It was foretold. It was anticipated. How many times was it anticipated? We can find anticipation in Genesis, certainly in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, and it goes on. In Samuel, in the prophecies of David, we can see certain distinctive features of those two times. The most important feature of all, I think, is hope. If you do a review of all human literature prior to the birth of Jesus, put it all together and summarize in some way, what characteristics would you see? There are certainly many different things being told. There's a whole lot of history and culture and art in that culture, that history, that literature. But there's one feature that stands out. Overall, it is melancholy. Overall, it does not speak of hope, of any hope that lives longer than this flesh. If you don't receive your reward while this flesh is alive, that's it. Now, there are occasionally hints of something beyond. Certainly in the human soul, there was always reflected some anticipation that we went someplace. You can find that in some of the early literature. But it wasn't a hopeful literature. And then Jesus comes in. But he was anticipated, and the Israelites were told throughout their entire history before the Messiah to anticipate the coming of the Messiah, to anticipate that God would bless them. This was what united the Israelites in their faith, in their religion. Hope for justice and peace. It was anticipating post-Christ, an AD, an Anno Domini for justice and peace and salvation. So here in back we hear in Numbers, Moses being told how to bless the people. And he says, say to them, God said, when you bless the people, say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you kindly and give you peace. So shall they invoke my name upon the Israelites, and I will bless them. This is a personal God taking a long view of relationship, blessing his people. The psalm that we just heard, may God have pity on us and bless us. May he let us face shine upon us, so may be known upon earth among all the nations your salvation. It was foretold. It was anticipated. It was the fabric of Jewish and Israelite faith. There was the fulfillment of blessings and prophecies in the birth of the Christ child. They're the center of history. Listen to Paul now, just a few decades later, reflecting on this, when Paul said to the Galatians, "Brothers and sisters, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to ransom those under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons." Paul gets it. It's just happened. That center of history is only 40 or 50 years behind him when he says this. Shepherds and kings witnessed the birth of Jesus. That's the importance of the visitation of the shepherds to the manger, and Mary and Joseph finding the child in the manger. And then the three kings at Epiphany. We're not told when it happened, but it sometime after the birth of Jesus. Why did it happen? And these are witness events. The shepherds, the three kings. And this event is too big to be anonymous, lost in a small village. Shepherds with their flocks near Jerusalem. You don't get lower on the totem pole than a bunch of shepherds. And you don't get higher than a bunch of kings and wise men. It was not a secret that the prophecies were being fulfilled. The shepherds went in haste to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known the message that had been told them about this child. Told by whom? By the angels. And all who heard it were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds. Imagine shepherds giving instructions to anybody. And Mary kept all these things reflecting on them in her heart. Mary is central to this whole episode. From the beginning of this new hope, from the beginning of the apostolic life with Jesus, from the very beginning, Mary was revered among the apostles. Can you imagine any other way that the apostles and the gospel writers knew the nativity stories? CNN wasn't there. Polaroid wasn't invented. Nobody was writing history at that point in time. But Mary was there. And she kept all these things in her heart and she pondered them. How do we know that she pondered them if she didn't tell the apostles? And Luke must have known her. Luke initiated both the book of the Gospel of Luke and Acts of the Apostles. Both had Mary present in the first chapter. She was always present to the early church. She was present at Cana. Peter saw that one, and so did Mark and John and Andrew. Mary was at the foot of the cross. We know that. All four Gospels have that. She was in the upper room at Pentecost when the 12 were gathered and Mary was there. Luke said Mary kept all these things reflecting on them in her heart. Mary told her stories. Mary was like the first apostle. Let me tell you what happened. I can tell you the story. Now, who do you think they went to when things got tough? When they were having a hard time trusting in the things that they themselves knew? Mary nurtured the early church. She gave them courage. She interceded for them. And by loving and serving the church, Mary honors her sons.